It started last May, but it isn't over yet. The protests that garnered international attention in Turkey have generated a new citizens' movement. Even if the news doesn't always make it to the United States, protesters are still turning up to respond to whatever the latest controversial policy is that the ruling Erdogan government wants to implement. Istanbul-based tour guide Yaren Turgulu joins us right now on Travel with Rick Steves for an insight on what becoming a political activist means in Turkey.
Actually, before the protests, I wasn't an activist, but after the protests, I became a professional activist, actually.
Wow.
First of all, we all went there to defend one of the last green spaces in downtown Istanbul. But of course, it was much more than the park. We all say that it started with a tree, but, you know, it has its deep roots down below.
Now, this is interesting. So the demonstrations originally were just people were angry with the government for building over a park or something like this, right?
The possibility of building a shopping mall in one of the last green spaces in Istanbul was, I think, the last drop.
The last straw.
Definitely, yeah.
But what is the bigger picture? What are people angry about?
The bigger picture is, I think, it was against the increasingly paternalistic tendencies of the government and the prime minister, you know.
Paternalistic, what do you mean by that?
You know, like having a father trying to dictate you, his point of view, his beliefs, his way of life. You know, I'm a mother of a six-year-old. Even I cannot dictate my beliefs to my son. So you cannot dictate your beliefs, your way of life to a nation, you know, to individuals.
No.
I think that was maybe mainly the reason of the Gezi protests.
So people were just fed up with a government that had an agenda of cutting back on people's individuality and freedom?
That's what I think. That's my personal thought. And that's mm-hmm. what many people thought
because
about
Turkey
it.
Because Turkey prides itself in being secular and pluralistic. And of course,
yes,
most Turks are Muslims, but the government is supposed to be a secular government. Is
definitely,
that right?
Definitely. Most Turks are Muslims, but most Turks are also secular Muslims. Yes, they are Muslims. But, you know, they're also secular people. They believe in the separation of the state and the religion.
Separation of mosque and state. We would say
Definitely.
Separation of church and state.
Definitely.
And you actually have separation of mosque
Definitely.
And state.
Definitely, we have.
I have a very a personal interest in this. I'm very impressed by what Ataturk gave to Turkey, because you guys were in the Middle Ages, really, until after World War
One. Definitely.
And then Ataturk comes along, and he's got this idea about a modern, secular, pluralistic society. And fundamental to that is being secular. And you can be very enthusiastic about your religion, but the government should be secular. And my understanding is the military is actually obligated to overthrow the government if it ever becomes a theocracy.
Yes.
But recently, I think your president has sort of taken off the leaders of the Turkish military so he can motor Turkey into a more theocratic society.
Yes.
Is that actually happening?
Actually, I do believe that the next decade will be better in Turkey in terms of democracy. I do believe that the Gezi Park protests were a turning point.
Wow. Now that's
quite
impressive.
In our history, because, you know, people lost their
patience. They were going to be fed up with this government.
Definitely. And people actually lost their sense of fear. The Gezi Park protests turned ordinary citizans into, like me, you know,
people
an
like
activist.
You. People like you,
you know,
who've never been marching before.
I was always angry, you know, about them. I was always angry with different kinds of things. But that was the first time that, you know, I just grabbed a lemon to protect me from the tear gas. And I just grabbed the simple gas mask. And I just took a taxi to the park.
You grabbed a lemon in anticipation of tear gas? Tell me about that.
Of course. You know, we lost our sense of fear, actually, because when we were there, you know, especially in the Istiklal Street or around the street, there are little alleys, you know, where police traps you, you know, and then they tear gas you for hours and hours. And there's always a way to just run back down to the sea and maybe catch a taxi back home. But you don't do it because you don't want to do it, actually.
So you didn't want to miss out on the action?
Of course. It's like betrayal. You
don't
know, betrayal
like a,
to your...
You don't seem like a radical person.
No, I'm not a radical. The thing is, the people who joined the protests were not radicals. Yes, there
right.
were a few radical groups mm-hmm. because it was a very big protest. But the nice thing about the protest, I think the nicest thing is it brought many different people from different backgrounds together. There were very, very secular people. There were socialist Muslims, LGBT groups, gays, lesbians, you know, nationalistic Turks, nationalistic Kurds, all together, you know, came together for a purpose. So it was really very important. That's
Quite
why I
empowering,
think.
Empowering, I think.
Definitely, because, you know, there was always a kind of a polarization in the country. But the Gezi protests showed us that we can come together for a cause.
And until 2013, maybe people like you were less confident about raising your voice to defend your modern government.
Definitely. And also it brought the sense of humor. It was so funny when the prime minister called the protesters the looters. The Turkish word for the looter is çapulcu. And then we created an English word for it called çapulers or çapuling, actually.
So,
and
the prime minister, his name is Erdogan?
Erdogan, yes.
Erdogan. He tried to insult and ridicule the demonstrators and call them simply looters.
Looters, definitely. And then it's called çapulcu in Turkish.
And you turned it around to be what?
Today it means the person who fights for his rights. And the English word we created is çapuling. And there's even a song, Every Day I'm Çapuling, you know.
So you're fighting for the rights of the Turkish people.
Definitely, definitely, you know.
Every day I'm çapuling.
This is Travel with Rick Steves, and as we do every week for an hour, we're talking with people from different lands to find out what's important to them and what we can learn from them. And today we're joined by Yaren Turkulu. Yaren is a new activist, and she's never been politically active, but the recent demonstrations in Istanbul have emboldened her, along with millions of Turks, to stand up for their modern, secular, pluralistic state. Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and you can email us at radio@ricksteves.com. And Nancy in Portland, Oregon has emailed us, and Nancy writes, "My dream is to visit Turkey and to travel around the country. However, I have concerns about the safety of traveling in Turkey at this tumultuous time. What's your opinion?" That's a very good question, Yaren. A lot of people in the United States are nervous about going to Turkey.
Definitely. I have to say that even during the protests in June, I guided many tours for Americans. Of course, when you find yourself in the middle of the protest, it can be a bit difficult. But generally, you know, Turkey is a very safe country. And then even during the protests in many cities, it was the highest season for tourism in Turkey, and it was pretty safe.
So you said pretty safe. What do you mean
it's
by pretty safe?
Pretty safe? It's safe, actually. It's safe.
My feeling is they would advertise the demonstrations, and if you want to be in the middle of the action, you can do that. And then it's
actually
not perfectly safe. But if you want to avoid the demonstrations,
of course,
you could do that.
There was nothing in Sultanahmet, you know, where all the highlights are located.
So what would you say to a tourist that was dreaming of going to Istanbul and then they did not go because of the demonstrations?
I think it's a very wrong decision, you know.
Because
I think these are the perfect times to see Istanbul, actually, the most exciting times.
This is reality.
This is reality, definitely.
Jane's on the line in New Orleans, in Louisiana. Jane, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you, Yaren, very much for helping us in the United States to better understand what is really going on in Turkey. I would be very grateful to you, Yaren, for sharing your understanding of how Turkish women are participating in these democratic demonstrations. Are women in Turkey accepted as participants and even sometimes as leaders in this democratic protest movement?
It's a very nice question, actually. More than half of the protesters in the Gezi Park protests were women.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you looked, you saw women. And there were also women, you know, secular women who were just like dressed like me, or there were also women with headscarves joining the protests. And there were many of them.
And this is a very interesting thing when you think about Islam, that there are modern Western-oriented women that don't cover their heads. And there are women who are more traditional and more maybe conservative or Muslim, and they do cover their heads.
They do cover their heads.
And they're out
heads.
Together. They party together. They're in the streets together. They
Definitely.
Demonstrate together.
Definitely.
And the beautiful thing about Turkey is you've got that pluralism where people can make their choice.
And we don't want to lose it.
Now, I noticed in Turkey that there is a creeping fundamentalism, and you see women are expected to wear a scarf who are in certain lines of work and everything. And how is that changing? Do you find there is a rising fundamentalism, religious orthodoxy that is cutting down on women's freedoms and women's opportunities?
They try to, some try to actually, but still we have a very secular constitution. On the paper, you know, we are equal.
On paper, it's
on
very
paper,
modern.
Definitely.
Ataturk had beautiful ideas.
Of course,
ideas.
We are equal. And, you know, I was born in a very big city into a very modern, secular, middle-class family. So the opportunities I have are different from a woman who was born, let's say, in the eastern part of Turkey.
Right.
So my life isn't an example. But there are also many women who are like me. So we are all trying hard to make the lives of those women better. There are many organizations. So we are trying to raise awareness, in this issue. And I think the future will be bright for women in Turkey.
You know,
but we need to work harder.
Erdogan miscalculated, I believe, and now people are emboldened. And, you know, I was a little bit depressed because I saw him taking the leadership of the military away so he could control the military and turn Turkey into more of a fundamentalist society. But what you're saying is this got the people in the streets, and now the government has
learned. Direct democracy, direct
action. The Turkish people are going to defend their secularity and their pluralism. Yaren, I was just in Palestine and I was talking to people, young women like you who are very active politically and socially, and they were telling me that they consider Turkey one of the most liberal countries in Islam and a country they look to for leadership.
Yes, Turkey is a shining example. You know, as a Turkish woman, you know, I have the same freedom as a European woman who lives in France or Germany. And as you said, we owe this to the reforms of Atatürk, you know.
But do you see Turkey as a leader in Islam for women's rights and for secularism?
Yes,
that's all right.
And it shows that separation of state and religion and Islam can exist together.
I'm wondering, as two very secular, pale American women, would my sister and I feel free and safe walking around Istanbul and even further east in Turkey, traveling together?
You're secular,
as Western women.
You're secular and pale?
I know.
I think pale women are fine in Turkey.
I think Istanbul is one of the safest big cities in the world. There's nowhere in the city that I cannot go on my own as a woman, you know. And Turkey is pretty safe. I have been guiding for almost 14 years, and I have guided single women, two women on the eastern part of Turkey. You know, it's pretty safe.
You know, Jane, we've been bringing groups to Turkey for 20 years. And the interesting thing about Turkey is it is a multi-ethnic country, and there's a lot of people with very light complexions and a lot of darker people, and everybody mixes together. And you won't even feel that much like you're sticking out. You know, you should be sensitive. If you're in a conservative town or a conservative part of Turkey, you would want to dress more conservatively as a woman on the streets. And that's just common sense and I think sensible when you're traveling. But stay in well-lit, well-populated areas, and I think you'll be fine. And a lot of people, understandably, they see hysterical news here in the United States that makes it look like all of Turkey's falling apart, when really it's just cameras zooming in on the action in one place in Istanbul. Istanbul's a city of how many million people?
17 million, maybe more.
17 million people. And there's a few thousand people on Taksim Square raising their voices. It can look much more crazy than it is. And I think Yaren's experience as a tour guide in Istanbul matches my hunch that you can go there and feel very thankful that you're in Turkey and not at all in any danger as these demonstrations continue. And as a matter of fact, I think there's going to be a lot of demonstrations across the Mediterranean world for the rest of our lifetimes as travelers.
Definitely.
And we can't really shy away from that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, Jane, and happy travels in the future.
All right, thanks.
We're hearing firsthand what it's been like to become politically active in Turkey from Yaren Turgulu. She's a lifelong Istanbul resident with a master's in classical archaeology, and she guides tours in Turkey for SRM Travel. She's joining us on Travel with Rick Steves to tell us how becoming a political activist is now also part of her identity as a Turkish citizen. Yaren, you mentioned you had a lemon when you're going anticipating the tear gas. Why would you bring a lemon and how would you use it?
Because I was informed by my Twitter friends that lemon was really very good for the tear gas, actually, and also milk. So most of the people who live in the Taksim area, especially older people, they put lemons and bottles of milk in front of their houses. So when we were running away, you know, so that we could just grab.
Oh,
so,
the people, the old people in the district where you're demonstrating Taksim
if you want,
left out their lemons.
I can also tell you a story. My brother was, of course, he joined the protests too. So he was in Gümüşsuyu. It's very near the Taksim Square, very near the Gezi Park. It's a very upscale neighborhood where there are 19th century beautiful apartments. And he was just running away from the police. You know, the police was just after him. And then suddenly one of the doors of the apartments just opened and a hand appeared and grabbed my brother into the apartment, into the building. And then, of course, there was tear gas inside the building. But suddenly, when my brother started to see again, he saw a very, very old, a little pretty woman.
And she saved him from the police.
And she didn't open the door to the police.
That's a bold and brave woman.
It's amazing.
She was with you in spirit.
Definitely, definitely. And another interesting thing I will never forget is during the protests, finally my phone started to work again and I called my brother because I was so worried about him. And he was on the other side of the Taksim Square in Harbiye. So I asked him, it was a very interesting telephone conversation. I asked him, is it safe there? My brother replied, no, there is police. So it's so funny, you know, is it safe there? No, there is police, don't come here. So, you know, we are just ordinary citizens and this is the telephone conversation between us. So
it's turning it upside down. It's not safe because there's police. Well, that's going to change.
Definitely, you know, so I think that epitomizes the Gezi protests, you know.
That's true.
It's a good example.
And did you ever have tears because of the tear gas?
Oh, you know, it's horrible. I was.
Tell me what that's like.
You can't see, you can't breathe. And maybe these are just physical reactions that you have, but deep inside you think that it's so unfair, you know. It's so unfair. I think that's the thing that hurts most.
Because it's a patriotic thing that you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, building a shopping mall in the center of a city, you know, in Istanbul, where I live, there are more than, in my neighborhood, there are maybe more than 25 shopping malls. In Istanbul alone, there are maybe more than 150 shopping malls. And we definitely don't need another one in the middle of the city, you know, in the Gezi Park. Gezi Park is one of the nicest places in the city. We all have our childhood memories there. So, you know, it's like destroying the memory of a city.
It's a beloved little green zone.
Definitely. And we have only a few nowadays in Istanbul.
Yaren, I'm just fascinated by this people's movement. And how did they attract a big crowd? How did you first get involved in the demonstrations?
Actually, we got organized on Twitter and
so it's
Facebook.
A Twitter revolution.
Yes, of course. It's a Twitter revolution.
And how does that work exactly?
The main media, the main television channels even didn't cover the demonstrations.
So the government could control the TV, but they can't control the people.
On CNN Turk, actually, during the protests, during the peak of the protests, there was a documentary about penguins.
During, they put penguins
yes.
on.
And then the next day, we wore penguin masks when we went to the Taksim Square, so maybe we could attract their attention.
So you had your penguin masks and your lemons.
Yes, definitely.
The only penguins with lemons
and
in the
I
world.
And I have a gas canister in my house, which was, you know, thrown at me.
So you've got a souvenir.
I planted a flower inside.
What an inspiration. What an inspiration. Yaren, when you were gathered together with all of your neighbors and fellow citizens, was there a slogan or a song you sang? Or what was the soundtrack of this demonstration?
There are many slogans, but maybe the most important one was, this is just the beginning. The resistance will continue.
This is just the beginning. The resistance will continue. Can you say that in Turkish?
Bu daha başlangıç, mücadeleye devam.
And you would say that over and over?
Over and over again, you know, thousands of people all together.
And did anybody hear you?
I think they heard us.
I think so too. Yaren Turkoğlu?
Yes.
Best wishes. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Or iyi şanslar. Good luck.
İyi şanslar. Yaren Turkoğlu, thank you very much letting us have a front row seat on some of the excitement that's going on in Turkey as you defend your democracy and raise your voice in unison and actually make quite a bit of progress.
Thank you so much.
Next, we'll take listener calls at 877-333-7425 and check your emails to radio@ricksteves.com. Let's talk about where your travel plans might be taking you and share highlights from your adventures. This is Travel with Rick Steves.